Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Good.
I want to talk about Bolivia.
Bolivia.
Did you hear about Bolivia?
Yeah.
Turmoil in South America, Central America, and can you believe it? We've decided to get involved. We want peace and quiet on our hemisphere. So it looks like it. We'll try to figure out exactly why. Everybody knows the CIA is probably involved, but to what extent? But that's a shame. Bolivia has had an election, a lot of confusion. Who won? They had to have a re-election, and then people objected to it. Then they had a Supreme Court ruling and said there were term limits. And finally, this weekend, it ended up with the president that thought he could stay and win the election. He was run out of town. He ran out of the country.
Yeah.
And the military moved in. And the question is who's behind the military, and what are the factions doing this? And will this bring about peace, or is this going to continue? But for me, it's a shame because I assume that the evidence and the likelihood of us being involved, and maybe even being involved in precipitating the conditions that lead to these things, and in particular the CIA. And of course, everybody knows our position on the CIA. They're not our we're not a fan of the CIA. At the same time, the CIA has been around and has been involved. And you know, they say the CIA is involved with this and the coup and all this going on. You know, it makes me think that the CIA really is pretty independent, because I think our president ought to be worrying about the CIA. We know the CIA is outside, the conventional authority of our government. When you think of the Kennedy assassination, all the things going on. So there was a writer a long time ago by the name of Dan Smoot that I got to know. He from the old right.
Yeah.
He said, Ron, it shouldn't exist. If you want a republic, you have to get rid of the CIA. And once again, I imagine the evidence will build that we have our hand in this. And it'll be done, of course, for spreading democracy, spreading our freedoms, and bringing about peace to the world, which I think is where the real fiction lies.
Yeah, and we can't help but say, and I put it in the description, it seems like we've seen this movie before, over and over again. Because the different components do line up, and you see the involvement of international organizations, you see NGOs, you see the U.S. government, you see the State Department, all lined up. And it's no secret that the U.S. has long opposed the government of Morales, Evo Morales, who was an indigenous individual in Bolivia, coming from the left, I believe. Populist kind of government, similar to Maduro, I would guess, in Venezuela. But you pointed out really what's happened basically. The Constitutional Court overturned the term limits, which enabled Morales to run again for the president. According to their constitution, you have to get at least 40%, multiple candidates, 40%, but you also have to get 10% above the next person. The vote was on the 30th of October. He got 47.1. His opponent, Carlos Mesa, who was a former president, 36.5. So he achieved that threshold. But, Mesa said before the election even that I'm not going to recognize the result of this election because I think it's fraudulent. And then that's when you have the OAS come in. And this is an interesting Organization for American States was founded in the very beginning of the Cold War. And it was essentially our organization to make sure that none of these countries, slip into communism, because that's when we were in the Cold War and the Red Scare. And so we give them 60% of their budget, so that does make you wonder, but we can continue. But they came along and said the election went just fine. And then later they said, we're deeply concerned and surprised over the dramatic and hard to explain change in the trends of the results. So Morales did better in the end. Which, as an observer, I can say that could raise some red flags, but it was explained away by the fact that his support really is in the countryside and rural regions, where it does take longer for the results to get back in. Who knows? It's not ours to to judge.
And we heard some noise from our own politicians. Marco Rubio didn't hesitate to take a position and support what was going on. I didn't hear anything from Graham. But I think the neocons is very specifically know exactly what they want there. But, you know, even looking at these factions, it's probably not necessary for us to continue to completely understand each faction. But to me, it's almost like some are socialist communists and others that want to retain power, the ones who are in the business community, and they might be described more fascist-like, you mm-hmm. know, in control. But there is no doubt that the statement involved, how could you have the CIA, who really is one of the top you know, operators in the deep state, to be involved. And so I think the neocons and the far left, you know, have written about this already. And if they think something is more socialist, you know, communist, they're going to be all for this. And then that sort of shows where the divide might be here. And there'll be some discussion here, even though they've had enough on their plate up in Washington. Now they should be more worried about the conditions that allow the CIA to be involved in some political shenanigans of really, I believe, behind the scenes and maybe a soft coup, literally from the day before he was sworn in yeah. to try to get rid of our president. And regardless of what you think of him, that stuff is pretty significant. So I think we lose our way. You know, I talk about bankruptcy and our foreign policy being bankrupt. We're spread too thin, too far around the world, money-wise and everything else. So we're involved in things like this. And I'm not so sure anybody has total control of what goes on in Washington with secret government and the authority that a CIA agency has, that they can do so much. They can finance themselves and do whatever they want, and they can't be reined in. And I can imagine, you know, even with the sincerest president trying to rein in the CIA and the FBI and every security agency with thousands of people and know every single one of them, that you would know where their loyalties really lie. It's a monster, and it was designed for empire, and it has not been designed to promote liberty here at home.
That's for sure. And you know, that's the we say it over and over, but that's the beauty of non-interventionism. We don't have to know in detail what kind of policies either the two factions were following, because it frankly is none of our business. It's always dismaying, even when people who might otherwise be our allies are cheering on this people power. You know, there's a libertarian dawn coming into Bolivia. No, that's not going to happen. This is not what it's about. But, you know, it isn't important which faction. But, of course, we'll be demonized. You'll be demonized, as you have been all along. Oh, you just love Morales. You just love Saddam Hussein. You love Gaddafi. No, it's the fact is we shouldn't be involved in this. And we look at all the components of this, and it looks like what we've seen before. We know from WikiLeaks that Carlos Mesa, who's the second runner, he was former president as well, regularly in contact with U.S. officials through the embassy in Bolivia, discussing how to get rid of Morales. So we know that for a fact. We know a couple of other things. We know, for example, this is a thing from the Greystone Project, which is really good. This is Max Blumenthal. They do a lot of great, this is old-fashioned investigative reporting. Janice Daza is a real leader in this movement against Morales. She ticks all the boxes, too. Born in Bolivia, lives and educated in the United States. She runs an NGO that's heavily involved with the same NGOs that were working against Maduro in Venezuela. She's involved, actually, with Canvas and Otpor. That goes all the way back to the coup in Yugoslavia against Milosevic. So these are the old, you know, U.S. government trained coup masters, NGOs. So when you see these NGOs involved as well, you do sort of some lights go off.
You know, and this may well be just a part of the bigger picture of China versus the United States. And that's a big issue, trade issues and all the things going on. And lo and behold, it isn't oil they're fighting for over there. And it pops up that all of a sudden lithium is yeah. important. And I think, well, probably is. And then that'll be their argument from the United States. We can't let China, because China, you know, they've earned a lot of money and they have dollars, and they're probably buying in and subsidizing and supporting these governments to have an influence. And that can be used now for us to be involved for national security reasons. We have to have our lithium. But, you know, I think it's so ironic that we have a monetary system and a deficit system, and we have this reserve currency that we have license to steal because we have the license to print, and they take it. And all of a sudden, China ends up with a lot more money, and they take a position militarily slightly, somewhat more different than ours. That is, they don't move troops around for occupation. They have the gall to take the dollars that they've made and invest them, you know, over there. And here we are, participating in this and wondering about lithium. But probably China's watching this quite closely.
Yeah, and I think that's an important component. People say, well, why would you do this? Why bother with Bolivia? It's not that strategically important of a country. It's not a wealthy country. And that is part of it. You know, there is a war for resources, and we fight it one way, and our adversaries fight it another. But Bolivia contains an estimated 50 to 70% of the world's lithium reserves. That's a big deal because the one big worldwide need is for lithium for batteries. You think about computers, your phone, everything. This lithium is really the spice of the era. Well, what happened earlier this year, I think it was back in February, the Bolivian government struck a deal with China, $2.3 billion deal with the Chinese consortium to together develop these lithium fields. And that was probably enough to get people excited here in the U.S. and among our allies who want to get their hands on this. And this really is not a unique experience. If you remember way back when you had the problems in Sudan, South Sudan, Free Darfur, the Chinese got involved in exploiting some of that oil. Next thing you know, we got involved to overthrow the country. Same thing happened in Venezuela. The Chinese and the Russians made deals to buy the oil, and the U.S. got involved in an overthrow. It also goes back to Hillary and her Honduran coup. You know, they kicked out Zelaya, who is kind of a populist figure like Morales, kicked him out. Okay, what's the big deal, Honduras? Well, guess what? Anyone out there worried about these migrants, that's where they all came from. We kicked out their leader. We called it democracy. The place turned into a complete chaos, and everyone wanted to leave. They got in their caravan as fast as they could, came up to our borders. So these things do have consequences here in the U.S.
And probably we could put that into the category of unintended consequences, because I don't think our government does these things for the purpose of just making things worse here. But it's a backfire. It's sort of like economic blowback, you know, that comes back to haunt us. But this is something that unless we deal with it with the principles of foreign policy, this can't be solved, because right now the only argument is which group are we going to get behind and subsidize until we're totally broke. Then nobody can argue over that. But they do argue about which faction and whose friends get to invest in the country. When you think about what's going on in Ukraine, you know, there's been Republican influence and Democratic influence, and it's been economic influence and political influence and all this stuff going on. So I think just the current events, it seems so logical to us, it makes our case, you know, there's no benefit to this. But then other people say, oh, no, but we have to do this to protect our liberties. And in this whole argument we're going to defend our Constitution by invading these countries. Who knows, the Bolivians might invade us someday, or something, a ridiculous argument like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you can tell from the reaction in Washington, and you're right early on what you said, Trump should know better because he's a victim of a CIA coup himself, but doesn't get it. But here's what the Trump administration said at the time under Pompeo. Now this is what happened, though. You know, we should mention this. So the head of the military told Morales, who was elected, hey, you got to step down. And he did, because he said he feared for his life. And of course, as soon as he stepped down, an arrest warrant was issued. They ransacked his house. They started arresting people in parliament who were members of parliament who were affiliated with him. So he was afraid. The military did tell him to get out of there. There's a long history of that in Latin America. Here's what the U.S. said after the military told the president to resign. Quote, the resignation of Bolivian President Evo Morales is a significant moment for democracy in the Western Hemisphere. And here's the kicker. They say, oh, you're just conspiratorial. Here's the other part of what the State Department said. These events, which is the coup, These events send a strong signal to the illegitimate regimes in Venezuela and Nicaragua that democracy and the will of the people will always prevail. We are now one step closer to a completely democratic, prosperous, and free Western Hemisphere. This is what happens when the military kicks someone out. We say that's a victory for democracy.
And then we need more border guards, because there'll be more illegal immigrants coming our way. Well, it's going to be hard, I guess, to shift gears and go in a different directions because, you know, we were talking a little while ago, but how long have we been there? And you said, well, maybe since the Monroe Doctrine.
Yeah.
So we got involved very, very early on, and it was always for national security. We keep the Europeans out. But here we are fighting and doing all this, and here we don't have to worry about the Europeans as much as the Asians. They're coming in, the Chinese coming in, just because of the circumstances. And I don't think there's going to be a big war down there, I think, but there's a war on the people. All this fighting and fuming going on and tariffs and sanctions and the things that we do with our policy now to try to avoid too much armed conflict, it always injured the middle class and the poor and those who suffer and those who have to. But that's been history. The wheelers and dealers and the people who have the money and the control and the power, you know, just use people as, in the old days they used to call it just cannon fodder, and victimize the people. And this is, I think, once more going on because the average person is not all of a sudden in the next 6 months going to be better off in Bolivia, you know. It's just going to be worse because there's going to be more economic problems.
Yeah, and anywhere there's been one of these coups, I'd like to see, you know, the evidence that anyone's lives got better. Certainly not true in places like Ukraine. But I would just close, this is one of the things I focused on in my speech at the Mises Institute. You know, we shouldn't be conveyor belts for CIA propaganda. The CIA obviously wants a coup there. By CIA, we mean the larger, you know, different factions that like to change regimes. If Bolivians don't like Morales, if they don't like the president, it's up to them to change it however they want to. Few people in the street doesn't mean the people have spoken. The U.S. pattern of manipulating Latin America, as Dr. Paul mentioned, goes back 200 years. If indeed, as he suggested, this is a fight between socialists and fascists, it's not our fight, it's not our business. Not only say, well, I support the regime change, but we shouldn't send our military. No, no. Then you're supporting the CIA coup. So the best thing to do is to point out when we get involved in these places, to point out these patterns, and to distance ourselves and say, no, we shouldn't intervene at all.
Well, I'll know that we're making progress in this problem that we have if we hear more people talking about why we don't need the CIA and why we have to really, restrain what the FBI does. Because there's way too much of this activity, which is, to me, secret government. And it is controlled more by the underground, the deep state, the people who really have the power. This is a problem that's been around for a long time, and it's a continuation of it. And my concerns expressed between this stirring up trouble with China, I wish that weren't true. But it could well be just another problem coming in because as time goes on, it seems like China is gaining in strength, economic strength. And though they have their problems, we have ours too. So the big question is, what happens when we have the declaration of the bankruptcy, the moral bankruptcy that drives us to a foreign policy that is a total failure, and a financial bankruptcy that exposes the ridiculousness of the idea that deficits don't matter and printing money will create wealth. So there's a lot of things out there that are reaching an end point. And I think the more we do to try to prepare the people for this and give them the answers they need, and it's not difficult. It has to do with believing in liberty, believing in property and voluntarism and free trade, this sort of thing. And yet the founders had indicated very clearly that none of the good things in the Constitution will be of any benefit if we don't have a moral people. But that's the biggest problem that we have, is the people who may live with a moral attitude that they don't want to use force and authority to intimidate and take and rule other people's lives in other people's country. Those should be the goal, and it's available to us. If we're interested enough in peace and prosperity, I believe there is a solution, and that we can do that by maybe starting just with taking a look at the Constitution, say, this reign in our government and limit our government with for the purpose of protecting liberty. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and please come back soon to the Liberty Report.